Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Anthony Brooks in for Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. 5 days to go until Election Day. The presidential candidates are doing what they must in these final hours, sleeping too little or not at all, as they blitz the battleground states for votes. Barack Obama has the big money advantage and an apparent lead in many key polls. But John McCain has a fighter soul and is looking for one more upset victory. Yesterday in Miami, McCain urged supporters to go door to door and fight on.
The pundits have written us off, okay? Just like they've done several times before. They were wrong before and they're wrong now.
For his part, Barack Obama bought a full hour of pay TV last night, appeared on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and made his first joint appearance with another Democratic heavyweight in Kissimmee, Florida.
It is such an honor and a privilege to be joined here tonight by a great president, a great statesman, a great supporter in our campaign to change America. Bill Clinton, give it up!
The election will be determined by a handful of battleground states that the candidates are focusing on in these final frantic days. We'll take the political pulse in a few of them, check the polls, and review the electoral map. This hour On Point, showdown in the battleground. You can join the conversation. Are you following the polls, tracking the electoral map? What do you see? Do you live in a battleground state? How does the race look to you? This hour, we'll check in with reporters from the key states of Ohio, Florida, Colorado, and Pennsylvania. We also have the latest projections and maps at our website on onpointradio.org. We begin with a big picture perspective. Joining me now from Washington is David Wasserman. He's the political analyst for the Cook Political Report. And David, it's great to have you. Welcome.
Thanks a lot, Anthony. Good to be with you.
So, 5 days to go, the candidates doing everything they can in this final stage in the battleground states. Just a general question to start us off. What strikes you this morning about the state of the race with just 5 days to go?
Well, I think there's a fairly stable sense about this race. All throughout 2007 and for the primary phase of 2008, this race felt like a roller coaster. Now it's more like watching concrete set. As my boss, Charlie Cook of the Cook Political Report, likes to say, we're going through a phase of this campaign where a large segment of the electorate is already voting. And that is a warning to John McCain, who's behind in the polls, that he needed to do something to change the mindset of this race earlier than now.
And it's pretty hard for him to do that, given that the economy seems to be front and center just about everywhere John McCain goes. He can't really change that.
Well, I think there are fundamentally three things that have happened in the past few months that have turned this race into an Obama lead, a probable Obama victory. The first of those was John McCain's selection of Sarah Palin for vice president. I think it was probably a very good pick for the months of August and a little bit of September during the conventions when it helped rally the base. But now some of the interviews that she has done, some of the criticisms she has received for both her handling of this matter in Alaska and for the RNC's payment of $150,000 have damaged her public image. And now voter outlook towards the Republican presidential ticket more closely tracks public approval and disapproval of Sarah Palin than it does John McCain. Secondly, I think the debates were a defining moment in this race. To a lot of voters out there, there was skepticism that Barack Obama could not meet that gravitas threshold, that he could not hold up to the pressure of tough questions on the national stage. And looking at data that was compiled after the debates, it's clear that he crossed that threshold in the eyes of many voters. And then third of all, the economic downturn has had a dramatic impact on this race, has sunk voter attitudes towards the Republican Party in general. And this is not John McCain's strong suit. He wants to be talking about national security. He wants to be talking about the future in Iraq. He wants to be talking about issues that he breaks from his party with, and he really has never had the kind of leadership role on the economy that would put him in a strong position to exceed the voters' expectations of the Republican Party on this issue, which has been framed by voter attitudes towards President Bush.
Hmm. David Wasserman, stand by. We're going to be checking in throughout this hour with a few reporters placed strategically in various battleground states. And let's begin with Joe Hallett, who's on the line now from Defiance, Ohio. And Joe, good to have you with us.
Glad to be with you.
So Ohio, big state, 20 electoral votes. I guess Ohio has selected the eventual winner in the past 11 presidential elections. How does it look there from where you are?
Well, it looks very close to where we are. The polls are showing it pretty much in a dead heat here, if you include the margin of error. And McCain especially is making a big push with a two-day bus tour through the northern regions of the state, starting here in a very Republican area, and then moving on east, we'll end up in Youngstown today, which obviously is the home of a lot of Reagan Democrats.
Joe Hallett, I should have said, you're with the McCain campaign right now. Give us a sense of what John McCain is saying and the energy that you're encountered, that he's encountering at these events.
Well, he's just about to start his first event of the day, so we've not heard him yet. There's a good crowd at a middle school here in Defiance, which seems an appropriate place for him to try and mount a defiant comeback in this race. As I said, this is a very Republican area, so he was bound to draw a big audience here.
Mm. And Joe, the defining issue, as you've covered this race from Ohio, it's the economy, isn't it? 500,000 residents out of work in Ohio. I guess you've got the highest unemployment there in, what, some 16 years or something.
Yes, we have, I think, the second highest unemployment rate in the state. We've had about 240,000 manufacturing jobs lost over the last 8 years. One in 10 people here in the state is on food stamps. So this is a state that is really struggling right now, and economic messages, whoever has the best message of hope, is going to have a leg up in this state.
Hmm. David Wasserman, when it comes to Ohio, give us your take. No Republican has ever won a presidential election without Ohio. This is obviously a crucial state for McCain.
Right. This was the defining state in the 2004 election, and we thought that it might be in 2008. Instead, other states have sort of leapfrogged Ohio as pivotal battlegrounds. This state remains close, but even at this point, there are routes to 270 electoral college votes that Obama can take without winning Ohio. He's currently enjoying a small lead outside the margin of error in most polls of the Buckeye state. But this is a state that has not exactly shifted as much towards Democrats as others have between 2004 and 2008. And I think while parts of Ohio, such as Columbus, have moved in the Democratic direction, and Governor Ted Strickland captured the governor's mansion in 2006, and Sherrod Brown wrested a Senate seat from the Republicans in 2006 as well. There are parts of Ohio where Democrats are still losing ground. The Rust Belt portions of Ohio, Appalachia by the Ohio River, I think these are parts of the state where Obama would be hard-pressed to match John Kerry's percentages, but if he got there, then he would probably win the state.
Hmm. And Joe Hallett, David mentioned that in 2006 you elected a Democrat out there, Ted Strickland, who was elected governor, ending 16 years of Republican hold on the governor's mansion. In what sense, to what extent does that help a Democratic candidate like Obama?
Well, in one way it helped is it provided Obama with a roadmap for winning Ohio. In 2004, President Bush won 72 of Ohio's 88 counties. 2 years later, Governor Strickland won 72 of Ohio's 88 counties. And the way he did it was he had an organization in all counties, and he cut into Bush's lead in those counties. And that's what Obama's trying to do. He has organizations in every county. He has paid staffers in every county, and they are trying to pick off as many Republicans and independents in these rural and suburban-leaning counties as possible.
Hmm. Joe Hallett, before we let you go, give us a sense of what the rest of your day looks like. Where does John McCain go next? You're in Defiance, Ohio next. What's the next stop?
We go to Tiffin, Ohio, and then Sandusky, which is on Lake Erie. And then we go to Elyria, which is suburban Cleveland, Mentor, which is on the east side of Cleveland, and then overnight in Youngstown, and end up tomorrow night in Columbus, where California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, who considers Columbus his second home, will come in for a big rally at Nationwide Arena with McCain.
Okay, Joe Hallett, thanks so much for that update. We appreciate it.
Happy to help.
That's Joe Hallett. He's a senior editor and political writer for the Columbus Dispatch in Ohio. He's on the road with the John McCain bus. This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks in for Tom Ashbrook. We're looking this hour at the colors, red and blue, and the shape of the electoral map in some key battleground states with just 5 days to go before the election. The vice presidential candidates are also stumping for votes. Yesterday in Toledo, Ohio, Republican Sarah Palin talked up energy independence and criticized Barack Obama for being slow to embrace options like offshore oil drilling, nuclear power, and coal.
As John McCain has observed, for a guy whose slogan is, yes, we can, Barack Obama's energy plan sure has a whole lot of no, we can't.
Governor Sarah Palin speaking yesterday in Toledo, Ohio. We're talking this hour with David Wasserman from the Cook Political Report and getting his big picture take on the national map. And David, let's talk about that electoral map. And as we mentioned at the beginning, the hour listeners can sort of join. If they go to onpointradio.org, there are a few different links to some electoral maps. I happen to be looking now at one from Real Clear Politics. David Wasserman, I know you guys at the Cook Political Report do a pretty good one, too. But the magic number, 270 electoral votes, we're going to hear a lot about that number. And the question is, how do the candidates get there? Can we start with Obama? I guess he's counting on holding on to the states that John Kerry won in 2004, which were basically the Northeast, Great Lakes, and the West Coast. And then he just needs to add a few more. How does he do that?
Well, every state that did not vote for George Bush at least one time in 2000 or 2004 is currently leaning in Obama's direction, and that gets him pretty close to 270 electoral college votes. From there, he would need to pick off Nevada or Colorado or Ohio or Virginia, and those are sort of the closest states that put him over the top past that 270 vote mark. But he's leading in those states, and right now he's looking at some others like Missouri, North Carolina, Florida.
Mm. So he's got some options. McCain, meanwhile, appears to have a narrower path to victory. He needs to hold on to those Bush states, the states that President Bush won in 2004, many of which he's running behind in. So talk about his options, his sort of narrowing path to victory.
Well, it is a very narrow path that leaves very little room for error. And his targeting of states has been rather schizophrenic over the course of the last couple months. He began the general election cycle by targeting Michigan. As everyone knows, he pulled out of Michigan, and that left Pennsylvania as the big Democratic state that has voted Democratic twice in the past two presidential elections that he is targeting. And in effect, he is tying his chances of winning the presidency to Pennsylvania by focusing so many campaign resources in that state, counting on that state's older population to boost him. It has one of the oldest populations in America next to Florida, counting on strong support in western Pennsylvania. If he did win that state, that would leave him with much more room for error. But at this rate, if the polls are correct, and Pennsylvania is about a 10-point lead for Senator Obama, then McCain would really have to run the table on the remaining states that are in single-digit margins right now, such as Colorado and Nevada.
Well, let's talk about Colorado. I want to come back to Pennsylvania a little later. We have a reporter standing by from Denver. Karen Crummy is the political reporter for the Denver Post. Karen Crummy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So give us a sense of what you're seeing in Colorado. This has been a pretty reliable Republican vote historically in recent history, but that seems to be shifting quite dramatically.
It seems to be. I mean, I would caution people, you know, again, some of the polls have Senator Obama up by 10 points plus. I think that's pretty optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you said, historically, the state has only voted for one Democratic presidential candidate in 44 years. So, but what we do have in Colorado is some changing demographics. People have moved in from, you know, a lot of cities on the east and west coasts. We have a higher Latino population or growing Latino population. And that's kind of done a lot to change the state. Just statewide, we have a Democratic governor, you know, Democratic senator, and the state's changed a lot. And so I would say right now, Senator Obama's probably up by about 5 points.
Mm. You have a growing Hispanic population as well. Does that seem to be helping Obama?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, the question, of course, as always, and like it is nationwide right now, who's going to turn out and vote? But if, you know, if those numbers of the Hispanic population do turn out, you know, it seems that, at least from our polls and from talking to people on the ground, that the majority of those voters are towards Obama.
And if John McCain is to hold on to Colorado, what does he have to do out there? What's his natural constituency, and what's the argument that he has to make to try to hold on to Colorado?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, in a lot of ways, John McCain was a perfect candidate for this state because, you know, the state's kind of maverick-oriented and, you know, leans libertarian kind of in a philosophy. I'm not sure what he's done. He's cut ads by, you know, 50% ad buys in Colorado. So he hasn't been on the air half as much as Obama has. I think, you know, he was getting, I think his message of, you know, the wealth redistribution has kind of hit a chord with a lot of voters here. And, you know, the small business message that Senator Obama's tax cuts could hurt small businesses has resonated as well. Problem for him right now is that almost 40% of our electorate has already voted.
Mm. David Wasserman, what do you make of this? We're hearing a lot about early voting all across the country. How is this affecting the dynamic of the race?
Well, this is an interesting harbinger. If we take a look at early voting and the statistics that we're compiling right now, in many states where early voting is popular, we have already exceeded half of the total votes that were cast in both early and election day balloting in 2004. Those states include North Carolina and Georgia and Colorado. And if we take a look at statistics from states that keep good records of who is voting early, in North Carolina and Georgia, there are some strong signs that Barack Obama's efforts to register and turn out minority voters and Democrats are paying dividends in the early voting process. In Georgia, for example, where only 25% of the electorate was African American in 2004. In 2008, black voters make up 29% of registration, but they're over 35% of voters who have cast ballots early. The statistics are similarly disproportionate in North Carolina, Louisiana, and we can imagine that the enthusiasm on the part of Democrats in other states does not stray too far from that pattern. So John McCain's task will be to overcome the margin that Barack Obama has built in early voting on Election Day.
Mm. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Kevin, who's calling from Indianola, Iowa. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, sir. I'm really appalled by the media coverage.
How so?
Well, if you watch Fox News, there is nothing McCain and Palin can do wrong. And what I do a lot of reading, and what I'm seeing is the biggest hypocrite seems to be the one getting all the support, mainly off of Fox News. And I think for the battleground states, this is bad. Instead of laying everything out like it should be, they pretty much just, like, they're in the camp of McCain Palin, you know.
Well, you're talking about Fox News in particular, or all of the media in general that are covering this presidential race?
Well, I would lean more towards just saying Fox News and anything to do with Clear Channel Radio, or say the Clear Channel that's owned by Rupert Murdoch, the ownership to me has influenced more of what's covered and what isn't covered.
Hmm. Well, you probably not get an argument from a lot of people, but where do you get most of your news and information, and what do you see out there in Iowa as this race shapes up?
What I see out here in Iowa is a lot of enthusiasm for Obama, and what I do see is a whole lot of McCain-Palin signs all over the place. What concerns me most is that we're not getting all the information we should. I get my news from Free Speech TV. I also get it from you guys. I lean a lot towards you guys through the day. And I kind of roam the channels at night. MSNBC seems to be pretty good. But Fox News, I've just found, is so biased and unbalanced that...
All right, Kevin. Well, we take the point, and I'm grateful for your call. Let's go to Amy, who's calling from Concord, Massachusetts. Hi, Amy.
Hi. How are you?
Good. You're on the air.
Great. I was calling because I'm concerned that the poll information that's coming out, while it's very much in Obama's favor, is going to become deceptive on Election Day because of what I think will happen with his voter intimidation on the side of the Republicans, like they did in 2004, especially in Ohio and Florida.
Well, let's take your first point. You're worried that we can't trust what the polls are saying right now, Amy. David Wasserman, there has been some reporting about some concerns, some questions about whether or not all the polling we're seeing is reliable. What's your take on that? I mean, from where I sit, it seems like the polling across all of these key states is pretty consistent and has been for some time. What's your take?
Well, the biggest question regarding reliability of polls in the news has concerned the Bradley effect, which refers to a supposed phenomenon of white voters saying they will vote for an African-American candidate in polls and refusing to support them once the decision is private and they're in the ballot booth. But take a look at the number of people in the country who would not vote for a black candidate under any circumstances. And, you know, it's probably a pretty small portion of the electorate. And ask yourself how many voters in that group voted for John Kerry for president in 2004. The answer is that, you know, Barack Obama is probably not losing many votes as a result of this supposed effect. If anything, the higher turnout on the part of his core constituency groups is probably offsetting this. I think the polls are, for the most part, reliable, especially when you're looking at a group of them instead of just one of them. I think the biggest problem on Election Day that we're likely to see is the overwhelming turnout. And in states that have not prepared for this well by passing an early voting law, we could see backups at the polls that discourage some voters from standing in line for many hours in order to cast their ballots. I think that is the most institutional form of voter intimidation that we could see across the nation in 5 days.
Hmm. Karen Crummy out there in Denver, before we say goodbye to you, I just want to get your take on this polling question. You mentioned right at the outset that, you know, we're seeing some pretty high advantages being recorded in polls in favor of Obama. You have some doubts about those, though.
Well, I guess the reason I have some doubts is, you know, there's some polls that are better than other polls. You know, mm-hmm. Some people have been doing it for a long period of time. Some people haven't. And so, you know, a couple of the polls that are so big that show Senator Obama up 10 to 12 percentage points in a state like Colorado just kind of give me pause. It's not that they're necessarily wrong. I just think that, you know, you have to kind of gauge them with a certain amount of skepticism. And my conversations I've had with both the McCain campaign people and the Obama campaign people here is neither one of them believes that, you know, the margin's that big.
Hmm.
They really think it's more in the margin of error or 5 points.
All right. Well, Karen Crummy, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
That's Karen Crummy. She's a political reporter for the Denver Post. Let's bring in Beth Reinhart now. She's joining us from Miami, Florida. Beth is the political reporter for the Miami Herald. Beth, welcome.
Hi, thanks.
Well, Florida, of course, big, important battleground state, 227 electoral votes. I gather the race appears to be essentially tied there, according to polls. What do you see?
Some polls are showing a tie. Others are showing Senator Obama with a narrow lead, but it's certainly as fierce a contest as you can imagine.
Hmm. And the candidates are both spending a lot of time there, correct? I think they were both there yesterday. Do I have that right?
Yes, we had both Senator Obama and Senator McCain here yesterday. We have Senator Obama still here today. He's in Sarasota. We've got Governor Sarah Palin coming, I believe, Saturday. We've got Joe Biden, Obama's running mate, coming Sunday. And I'd be very surprised if we don't see Obama and McCain back here for a last-minute trip on Monday or Tuesday.
And what's your sense? What's going to turn the vote out in Florida? I mean, the economy, of course, it seems it's a big issue across the country, Florida included. I guess the state, what, is ranked number two in home foreclosures? You've got a recession down there. That must be looming awfully large on voters' minds.
Definitely. People are really struggling in Florida. We've led the nation in jobs lost, in addition to what you mentioned about foreclosures. Our real estate industry, which is, you know, part of the backbone of the economy in Florida, is in shambles. So people are very, you know, worried, and the economy is definitely, you know, paramount in everyone's minds, and it's mostly what the two candidates have been talking about. Though, because it is Florida and we have such a diverse population here, Cuba, Israel, those also get mentioned a lot.
Hmm. David Wasserman, Florida, of course, I mean, you know, you don't have to go back too far. 2000, of course, Florida was the state that held our attention for weeks. What do you see in Florida right now in this race?
Well, obviously, this was a freakishly close state in 2000. George Bush opened up a significant lead in 2004 based on his strong support in North Florida, in the Miami area among Cuban-American voters. And the state has seen plenty of growth since then, and it has turned back to a very purple hue. And so once we take a look at the I-4 corridor and see how votes are coming in there on election night, I think we'll have a good idea of how the swing vote in this state is turning. Barack Obama needs strong margins not only out of Miami and in some of his key urban cores of the state, but also in Orlando's Orange County, in places like Fallujah County, Daytona Beach, and in the Tampa Bay area. So those are going to be keys to his route to winning Florida on election night. And I think also his efforts to pick off some support in the Cuban-American community are really interesting. There are some key congressional races down there that I cover. And so if the Cuban-American vote supports Barack Obama with over 40% of the vote, then he could be in for a good night.
Okay, that's David Wasserman, political analyst with the Cook Political Report. Stand by. We're going to talk more about issues in the key battleground states in these remaining 5 days. And Beth Reinhart, we say goodbye to you. Thanks for your input in this hour.
Sure.
That's Beth Reinhart, political reporter for the Miami Herald. This is On Point. I'm Anthony Brooks, in for Tom Ashbrook. We're talking about the must-win states for Obama and McCain 5 days before the general election. Both have put a lot of time and effort into Pennsylvania, which we're going to talk a little bit about now. Here's Obama at a campaign event Monday in Pittsburgh.
John McCain might be worried about losing an election, but I'm worried about Americans who are losing their homes and losing their jobs and losing their life savings.
And earlier this week in Hershey, PA, McCain went after Obama on taxes.
Senator Obama is running to be redistributionist in chief. I'm running to be commander in chief.
And we're talking this hour with David Wasserman, political analyst with the Cook Political Report, and to a group of reporters in key battleground states. And before we are joined by someone in covering Pennsylvania, David, a question for you. Obama has used this enormous financial advantage in recent days. Last night, he bought a paid half hour of TV for his very own campaign infomercial in prime time. Is there a danger of this backfiring, of people sort of saying, you know, it's too much? It's unfair. He's bullying us. We're seeing him too much.
Well, I think there is a real danger of voter fatigue, but I think that has led many voters to want to get this process over with early by going to the polls ahead of time. So I don't think voter turnout will decline as a result of this overkill, and it is overkill. I think we're all worn out, even those politicos among the pundit set who have been covering this for a long time, and this is our life. But we're tired now, and there is a real danger that that Obama could really wear some people out. But for purposes of getting out your vote, I think the smart strategy is to keep going at it hard all the way through, and that's what he has done.
Hmm. We're joined now by John Micek. He's joining us from Chester County outside of Philadelphia, and he's been covering the political race there. John Micek, welcome.
Anthony, how are you?
Very well. It's good to have you. Give us a sense there. Pennsylvania, of course, 21 electoral votes. This is John Kerry. John Kerry carried it in 2004 just barely. This is the state that John McCain is sort of identified, targeted as a Democratic target that he wants to pick off. What do you see from where you sit?
McCain has been here almost constantly. I heard the tape on the Hershey rally. I was there the other day when McCain was in Hershey. That economic message that he's hoping will resonate with state voters who might have been hit by the economic downturn might be a little bit skeptical of Senator Obama. There's some indication that it's working. The poll numbers have tightened some from about a statewide average of 11 points to about 9.5 points. Still a bit of a hill for Senator McCain to overcome.
Mm. Sarah Palin as well has been campaigning in Pennsylvania recently. How has she been greeted there? What kind of energy has showed up at those rallies?
Well, I mean, she is, of course, preaching to the converted. Governor Palin was in Shippensburg, a college town in central Pennsylvania, just the other day. She'll be hitting Erie and Williamsport this afternoon and this evening, both Republican. Erie less so, but Williamsport definitely a Republican stronghold. And when she's in there, the reception is just rapturous. It's the base that's coming out to see her, and they are hearing all the stuff they want to hear.
Hmm. So, obviously, David Wasserman, big effort there to excite the Republican base in Pennsylvania. Tall order for John McCain, in your view?
Well, I think so, but keep in mind that Democrats have left open the door a crack for John McCain in Pennsylvania by saying some things that aren't helpful. Representative Jack Murtha in western Pennsylvania, for example, said famously that western Pennsylvania, there's no question about it, he said, is a racist area, and he went on to downplay that somewhat. He also said that it used to be a redneck area. Those comments have hurt a little bit, but for Jack Murtha's reelection campaign, they've put a spotlight on him more so than they have on the presidential race in Pennsylvania. But McCain needs to really boost his base in the T of Pennsylvania outside of the metropolitan areas of the state, because you'll really see support for Obama and Democrats balloon in some of the suburban ring outside of Philadelphia and Chester and Montgomery counties, and even into the Lehigh Valley from 2004.
Hmm. John Micek, at the conclusion of the Democratic nominating race, there were predictions that supporters of Hillary Clinton would be cool to Obama. What are you seeing there in Pennsylvania? Those predictions haven't been borne out, have they?
No, they've not. You have the occasional hardline holdouts who are still disillusioned about the way the nominating process has come down. But, excuse me, by and large, I mean, led by Governor Ed Rendell, who famously said after the primary that Democrats had 10 days to lick their wounds and then get their act together for Senator Obama. That has, in fact, been the case. The Democratic base in the state is excited, and it has rallied around Senator Obama.
Hmm. Let's go to Jamie, who's calling from Lexington, Massachusetts. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Anthony. I'm not in a battleground state, but I think that it's kind of interesting to see what's happening or maybe not happening in Massachusetts. I really expected to see a lot of Obama signs out, lawn signs. I haven't really seen that many, and I've actually seen a lot more McCain-Palin signs than I ever would have expected, given the unpopularity of the Republicans right now. So I think it's kind of important when we look at poll numbers to always cast a little bit of skepticism. They can be wrong, And I'm not really seeing this overwhelming groundswell of support on the ground that I would have expected in Massachusetts, one of the most liberal states in the country.
Well, Jamie, so, you raise an interesting point, and David Wasserman, maybe it's because Massachusetts is such a liberal state and such a reliable blue state vote that, you know, why bother putting those signs out? Or maybe it's because the McCain-Palin signs seem to stick out more in a state like Massachusetts. What's your take on that?
Well, it's easy to forget that it was Senator Hillary Clinton who prevailed in the Massachusetts primary by a wide margin,
yep.
Even after the state's top three Democrats, Governor Deval Patrick, John Kerry, and Ted Kennedy, the two senators, endorsed Barack Obama beforehand. So there is a base of voters in Massachusetts who started out cool to Senator Obama. I think it's safe to say that Massachusetts will vote for him by a wide margin, but there may not be the same enthusiasm, long-standing enthusiasm behind his candidacy that we've seen in some other states.
Mm. Jamie's also talking about, maybe the polls. I mean, we've sort of talked about the reliability of polls. But in general, David, is it safe to assume that the polls, one way or another, will tighten as we move toward Election Day? I'm not speaking specifically about Massachusetts, obviously, but generally across the country and specifically in these battleground states.
Well, it's possible. But there's such wide engagement right now in this election. And oftentimes when the polls tighten, it's because one party has not been very engaged in the election up until the final days when they finally wake up and realize there's an election. That's why, for example, in 2004 or in 2006, you saw the Republican base come home a little bit later because Republicans were probably a little bit less enthusiastic about the election up front, but they woke up a couple days before the election, realized that it would take place, came home to the base. I think there is an enthusiasm gap in this election, but by and large, most people on both sides are highly engaged in what's going on in this process and will vote no matter what.
John Micek,
so I don't think there's as much potential for movement.
Sure. John Micek, down there in Chester County, Pennsylvania, are you seeing a kind of a widespread enthusiasm that would stand in contrast to what Jamie's seeing here in Massachusetts? I mean, this is a state, obviously, that both candidates are spending a lot of time in these final days. Is there enthusiasm?
There's absolutely enthusiasm, and there's absolutely engagement. And to the slippage that David was talking about, one of the reasons Senator McCain has been able to gain some ground here in Pennsylvania over the last few days is that he's been all but inescapable. He's been in for the last 2 out of 3 days, or somebody from his campaign has been. He'll be back in again on Saturday and Sunday. So he sort of commanded the ground down here, although we're expecting Senator Obama to come back in during the final weekend for at least a bounce or a couple of full-fledged events. But people are absolutely engaged. When you're out and you're talking to voters and you're out in shops and on the streets and that kind of thing, it's the campaign talk is hard to get away from.
Hmm. Let's take another call. Joanna is calling from Boston. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Anthony. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question for your guest. I was wondering, in regards to Montana, which is not usually discussed as a swing state, whether they thought the third-party candidates, specifically Ron Paul and Bob Barr, would have an impact, maybe take a chunk out of John McCain's percentage.
Hmm. What do you think, David Wasserman? A couple of the electoral maps that I've looked at actually have put Montana as a toss-up state, which is hugely surprising. But what is the impact of these independent candidates?
Well, I think it's very minimal compared to past elections. When you have two former Georgia members of Congress, Bob Barr and Cynthia McKinney, who are running far lower profile campaigns than we've seen of third party or independent candidates of past years. And the personalities of the two presidential candidates from major parties are so large. I think the share of the independent vote, especially given the stakes of this election, will be lower than it has been in the past rather than higher. In states like Montana and North Dakota, I think there have been so few polls conducted in the state that it's hard to really get a good grasp what's been going on there in the past few weeks. But I expect John McCain to win these states. It would be really a mammoth swing from 2004 to 2008. And, you know, states can't be delivered. They're not like pizzas. They're more gradual shifts than there are landslide shifts from one year to the next. And while we will see you know, a pretty large swing in some states between 2004 and 2008, that would be a really monumental task for Barack Obama to come right back from Democratic 20-point deficits and put those in his column.
Mm. Well, Joanna, thanks for the call. John Micek, before we let you go down there in Pennsylvania, what's in store for the next few days as a political reporter covering this event? It's going to be, I guess, mighty busy right up until Election Day, right?
I'm expecting a lot more time in the car. I've told my family not to expect me for a few days. It looks like it's going to be wall-to-wall campaign events between here and next Tuesday.
Well, good luck to you, and thanks for joining us today. Thanks for your help.
Thanks for having me.
That's John Micek, state government reporter for the Allentown Morning Call. Let's go to Danny, who's calling from Harrisonburg, Virginia. Hi, Danny.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. What do you see down there?
Well, the area where I am is the western side of the state near the border of West Virginia, and we tend to run several points behind the rest of the state on the Democratic side, at least. And I've been doing canvassing for Obama, and I've been going up through the very rural areas up in the mountains towards West Virginia, and I'm finding that I'm meeting folks who have had multiple Obama folks visit their homes for the first time ever. The get out the vote and the ground game here is so significantly superior to the McCain effort in a Republican stronghold. And then 2 days ago, we had Obama in town speaking. So that'll only intensify the get out the vote and the groundwork that's going on here.
Well, Danny, let me raise some of these points with David Wasserman. David, Virginia, of course, one of those states that if Obama can pick up and hold on to the John Kerry states, I mean, that would put him awfully close to where he needs to be. What do we need to understand about Virginia this year?
Well, Virginia is a complex state. It's a very diverse electorate. And the caller calls from an area that, he's right, has voted overwhelmingly in the past for Republicans. In fact, Harrisonburg is the site of James Madison University and may go for a Democratic presidential candidate for the first time in recent memory. The surrounding county, Rockingham County, voted for George Bush with well over 70% of the vote in 2004. If Obama is holding his own in these kinds of places, then that's one indication that he's on the way to carrying Virginia by a significant margin. I think part of the problem that Republicans have had in the state is a ground game. Part of it is John McCain's fairly low visibility in the earlier phase of the general election campaign. His brother's comments that Northern Virginia amounted to communist country was not helpful. But I still expect Virginia to be a fairly close state at the presidential level.
Mm. Well, Danny, thanks for that call. David Wasserman, our time is sort of winding up here. But before I let you go, I'd like to talk to you very briefly about the House and Senate races. It looks like there will be substantial gains for the Democrat. What's your expectation with regard to the Senate and then the House?
Well, the Cook Political Report, our current outlook is that Democrats will gain between 7 and 9 seats in the Senate. They would need to pick up 9 to reach 60 from where they are now. But keep in mind the question of where is Joe Lieberman in the Democratic caucus post-November, and he could be thrown out. So do Democrats start from 50 or do they start from 51? In the House, our current outlook is that Democrats will gain between 24 and 30 seats in the House, which would really be sort of another kick in the gut for Republicans who have lost 33 since 2006. That would put Democrats at a kind of majority in the 260s that they have not enjoyed since the years after Watergate. This will be a majority that enables Congress to really get their way if at the presidential level Barack Obama wins, then it will be a question of whether Democrats can agree with themselves, not whether they can work across the aisles.
Hmm. Well, John Micek, thanks so much for being our guide this hour. It's been great having you. Sorry, David Wasserman. Sorry, David. It's been great having you, and thank you very much,
Anthony.
I've got 20 names in front of me, and I got confused for a moment there. That's David Wasserman, political analyst with the Cook Political Report. We're also helped this hour by Joe Hallett from Ohio, Karen Crummy, political reporter for the Denver Post, Beth Reinhart, who joined us from Miami, Florida, political reporter for the Miami Herald, and John Misek, state government reporter for the Allentown Morning Call. And thanks to all of you who called. I'm Anthony Brooks, and for Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point.